right. All right. And great. Hey, we are on. Hey, everybody in the G-Door Heroes group. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm assuming because we did have a bunch of opt-ins this morning to just join the group so they could watch the esteemed, the inspirational, the great Cody Johnson join us today. And I think this is cool. I've been very excited about this episode of the podcast. I doubt any of us that have participated on any of the Garage Door forums for any amount of time, I doubt we're unfamiliar with Cody Johnson and more specifically how he has a different and a unique perspective on things. He always, every time I see him participating or engaging people on different forums, you know, he's going to take the thought track in a more positive and I think an introspective perspective. And I think it's awesome. And I'm really glad he said yes to be on here. Cody, thank you so much. I'm going to let you kind of talk about, you know, your company, where it started, when you joined, and where it is now, and some of the pivotal points that brought you here. I can't wait, and I hope everybody is excited to hear this.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Rob. This is like my first real podcast, so that's good. I thought I was on Tommy's once. He says, and they said, little home service millionaire or home service expert. And I'm like, oh, cool. I get to be on podcasts. And he's like, you're just pure trash, Cody, and just delete. So, no, he's getting sad. But I appreciate the opportunity. And hopefully some people can get some golden nuggets. You know, this is how I learn most of my stuff is through Facebook, through podcasts, through books. I didn't know you're supposed to still read after college for a while, you know, 20 years. So
it helps. It helps.
But yeah. I guess to give an introductory to whoever watches this, everyone. So my name's Cody Johnson. I live in Houston. I run Garage Door Doctor. It's my dad's company, or it was. We partnered with Tommy by now. We partnered with A1. But my dad made this company in 1987. I joined about, I'm really old, I'm going to date myself, 22 years ago. Because now I'm 40, and I did it when I got out of high school. And then I was part-time while I played at University of Houston. And then I hurt my shoulder, quit college. And then I said, Garage Door Doctor is the way. So
yeah, man.
So
good.
Yeah, so that's kind of how we went. And then 4 years later, we hired my brother after he graduated college. He was going to be a cop, and he decided he can make more money here than being shot at in Dallas. So he's like, where do I work at that pays me the most to be a police officer? It was some suburb of Dallas. And then he started working for us. He's like, he did the math. And he's like, I can make more doing this. So, and that was before we were charging good pricing. So
well, good. And the story goes, that, you know, you guys as a trio have really been able to conquer the world down there in Houston. So I hope it was a good decision for Ryan anyway. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I think he enjoys it. His back might hurt every once in a while. So, but I just tell him, get back to work. And he does. It works out fine for me sitting in my chair. So.
Right on. Well, hopefully one day soon we get his story on here. So, yeah.
All right. Good. He'll throw me under every bus there is. Okay, so let's just right. So that's okay. I accept it. He's actually really good. I think the trailing 12 months. So the trailing 12 months, he's at 1.4 million in sales. And so we're really smart here. We're really smart. And this is, you know, as you evolve, you learn new things, new techniques. So we're really smart. He would sell, and then we make him install. So he's got like almost 1.3 million completed revenue, a little over 1.4 million in sales, but most of his life he's installing what he's selling. So what would have been smarter is probably just like have him go sell to everyone and capture the job and then let some of my other guys have an opportunity to make some more money. So by installing it. So
lessons learned.
Yeah. So But he's a good guy. Shout out, brother. So.
Oh, right on. Right on. Cool. Cool. Well, so dad started in about 87.
Yep.
And then the boys come on and this becomes a family business. I love that. Every chance we can all get to have a family business, I think we should. And even if it's not a family business, if you have a family, it's a family business. So that's just everybody's on the same team for everyone's success. So cool. Well, so let's talk about it. What was business like in well, let's just say your dad started this. What was it like? How easy was it to get a garage door business going and sort of who was his target market and how did he evolve?
Yeah. So his first target market, so we're in Texas. All you need to do is get a DBA and you're in business. So at least in the Houston area. So there is no real licensing or certificates that you need here. So it's good and bad because it's a low barrier to enter, which means you'll have a lot of one-man shops in business. And some might flourish and some will flounder and they'll die. But my dad's hard-headed and he made it through. So, he started off in new construction and found out, you know, really shortly that the builders will stiff you and not pay you. And you got 60 days till you get paid. And without a lot of cash in the bank, that cost you a fortune. You know, you can't afford to do that with, you know, not that much money. So it's funny, when he first started, he was a mechanic at a Oldsmobile and they couldn't get him enough hours. So he was maxed out on the hours he could get. So he specialized in rebuilding steering wheel columns. And so he was going to go from dealership to dealership back in the late 80s, because apparently that was a common thing. And the garage door thing was a side gig. While he was trying to gear up the specialized steering wheel column rebuilding thing. Well, right. The garage door business took off and the other didn't. So he said, well, I guess I'm a garage door doctor now. So
double down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like most of us, he started in new construction and then some of us stick in new construction. He figured out that service is really where he wants to be. And that's what he did. And, you know, he'd work, Like most of us in the business, he would work 12 to 14, 15 hours a day from sunup to basically 10 to 11 at night, just trying to capture every job he can and do the best he can to provide for his family. You know, he did it. He started it because my brother was born. So it is my brother's fault. So, you have the second kid, you need to have more cash. And so that's why he started this and it worked out. You know, he got out of the truck, I believe, March of 2022. It was February or March of 2022. He could still do jobs if needed, but I'm like, Dad, you don't need to do it anymore. So we got a good team, a good sized team now. So, so he finally got out of the truck in 2022. And then I got out of the truck April of 2022. So, and then Ryan is stuck in the truck forever. Yes.
Take it. Own That's it, right. Ryan. Oh, there you go. Good. You know, I just a couple of thoughts that I had while you were talking there. You know, I was in the plumbing apprenticeship program in the mid to late early mid 80s. Okay. And the plumber that I worked for was he had experienced the same thing with the general contractors kind of not paying, or some had their own struggles and then, you know, filed a bankruptcy and didn't pay him and left him hanging with a lot of obligation. And I was there for that. I didn't experience a lot of it because I was just a peon, but I was there and got to see what he went through and how he had to just kind of position himself to weather that storm. And he did stop doing new construction and did service and repair only. And for the same reasons that you and I have talked about, you know, we get paid right away. We get paid usually a premium for that kind of work and we get paid right away and we move on. And usually if we're running our business right, we're kind of profitable on a daily basis if we do that right. And that's awesome. So yeah, I could just,
the accounts receivable is minimal. So, I mean, I think in the last year, you know, I guess we'll talk revenue numbers. So like 2022, we might have had $20,000 of people that owed us that didn't pay us. I mean, that usually you're not leaving that driveway until you get paid. So that's the advantage of at least residential service and retrofit. You know, commercial's different. You do have a waiting period, and there's good margins to make in commercial. On new construction, we've never really gone after that. We might. I think maybe like you don't probably personally. I want to be heavy resi service and retrofit, and then eventually, if we evolve into commercial or new construction, that would just be kind of an add-on bonus for us. But like, sure. What I do like about residential construction or new construction is that there should be enough doors to get done, so that way you can have actual installers on your team. So they're not, it's not a hit or miss. Hey, we got doors for you or we don't. So that way they can consistently make money to provide for their family. So I do see the purpose of it. And, you know, there's multiple ways to run a business. You can do high volume, low profit. You could do high profit, low volume, or you can kind of meet in the middle where, you know, great profit and great volume. So that's where we try to get to, is kind of what our goal is. So all right. The leads. I just want all the leads.
All of them. I love it. I love it. You're not asking for much. Just all the business.
Yeah.
No, but that's great. There are a lot of models out there. And there are people succeeding in probably every model. And so It's up to all of us to kind of figure out what model we think feels good in our, because we're all on our own journey in this life and in our business. But for sure, we want to pick our model, go after it, go hard on it, and at the same time, you know, develop our own strategy that works. So obviously, you guys have, and this is going to be so exciting and fun to unpack this story. So when you came on board, I'm based on kind of your age, and, you know, 22 years ago is around 2001, somewhere in there.
Yep.
You know, what was that like when you said, "Dad, I'm in, I'm all in"? What were you doing at the time? How were techs? I mean, I assume you were some kind of a tech. How were they compensated? How, you know, what was the pricing like? That's a good one. What was the pricing like?
Not enough. For any of it. When I joined Garage Door Doctor, it was just my dad and my mom would answer phones. So it was my dad would answer phones and my mom. She was the back office, and then it was me. So that was the whole team. And then when I first started, the first year and a half or so, I was really more part-time. I'd work on the weekends or around my football schedule. And then after, I was like, I'm done with this. Then we just kind of went full-time on Garage Door Doctor. And yeah, I mean, to give you an idea, I think there was years that W-2 showed maybe 35,000 for me. So, you know, but at the time I thought it was a lot for me because I got out of college. I wasn't making much. So that was pretty good. And, you know, it's one of those things. We were good on quality. We were good on speed, and we were cheap. So, you know, like Tommy will say, you can be quality, you can be fast, you can be, what do you want? You know, quality, speed, or price. Well, we were all three at that time. So at least that's what we believed. Now, there is an argument that perhaps we went too heavy on the repair and fix option, where we didn't actually, we gave the customer what we thought they needed instead of really what they wanted or what they actually needed long term. So, and that, you know, as we evolve, we kind of learn there's better approaches to take care of the client better. But at the time, you do the best you can, and that's what we did. So, and we weren't charging much. So we were just trying to hit, you know, for my dad, 8 to 10 stops a day. For me, 8 to 10 stops a day. That's what we were trying to hit. So it was just kind of just keep, you know, small little repairs here and there. And it worked out. The advantage of that is we have a great customer loyalty. They're very loyal to us. A lot of reviews. They'll call us over everybody, and they love us. Now, come to find out, they might have loved us because our price was too low. So, but yeah, I mean, again, you can, when you, and at this point, the business has been in business for a long time by the time I joined. But what we found is we weren't charging enough for everything we needed. We didn't charge for the vehicle that broke down for my dad. I mean, he literally gave trucks away. You know, it breaks down, you fix it. It breaks down, you fix it. It breaks down, you can't afford a new one, so you're stuck fixing it. And then we had to get a second vehicle for me. It breaks down, you fix it. We're way too old on the vehicles, but we couldn't afford the new one because we didn't charge the right price. It took us a long time to figure that out. Took him a lot. He's the one figured it out. So me, I'm dumb. So he figured it out. It took a long time for us to figure it out, as I think it does for most of us. Like, you know, right? We're just excited to get the job. And what we are selling, we did the best we could. And, you know, we're always good with the customer. That was never a problem. But what we were selling based off of was price. I can undercut everybody. So we were the dreaded, you know, that guy. So, and we did it, and we didn't know better. We thought we priced everything off how we felt. We feel like that's fair. You know, like if the rollers cost me $20 for the set, for me to install it for 50 means that I made $30. That's a lot of money. That was kind of what our mindset was. And, you know, we learned better. They're more expensive now. So that's good. So.
Well, good. I think a lot of us in when we are some kind of a tech or a support member in a business, and we convince ourselves that we can do this, right? And so we know what the bosses are charging. And so when we want to break out on our own, we kind of try and undercut them. And that model seems to stick.
Oh, yeah.
Just try and be as cheap as we can. And sometimes we're projecting our own philosophy or our own buying habits on our customers.
Yep.
In that, well, I would be wanting this for a good price. So we kind of project that out there. And so many times that's wrong. When we go in trying to immediately decide this is a price shopper, or I know what this person wants before they even know what they want. And how many times have you or me, I mean, all of us have gone in to meet with a customer or prospective customer, and they don't know what they want. And so we don't take the time to help them to understand, look at all your options. You have amazing options in front of you. Some they're not even aware of. And we give them, let's just say we give them whatever basic service. They think they need something fixed, but really what they needed was a new system. We just give them that quick fix and we leave.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, they're frustrated because then they realized they needed a new system, but we didn't offer that.
Oh yeah. No, your number one warranty is the lowest tickets you do. You would think it's the most expensive things you do, new door, new opener, and you'll have some warranties on that. But if you actually prorate it out, go find your cheapest tickets, and that'll have your highest warranty rate because you never fixed it right. You sold out of your own back pocket. You're out of your own wallet. That's what we did. We sold out of our wallet. What did we think was fair if I was paying for it myself? Well, I think that's fair. I don't think they need anything. Rob, I was the guy that would sell you one roller at a time. If one roller was bad, I tell this to the guys the other day. You know, somebody said, I got to sell ethically. Okay, well, you tell me what's ethical. I go out, service call, one roller, charge them, whatever it was. We charged way too little. It was probably $60, okay? 6 months later, another roller breaks. I didn't change the rest of the nine. I sold one with the service call. Cool. 18 months later, so now we're at, what is that, two and a half years, the customer had asked me, should I change the remaining seven because the third one broke? I'm like, oh my God, Rob, I'm so sorry. You must have gotten a bad batch. I don't understand what's happening here. So, you know, now we were very cheap and it was fine, and he was happy with me. It wasn't like, oh, I need a whole bunch of service calls. I didn't know any better at the time. Because again, I was selling out my own wallet. What would have been better for the customer? It's not even price. Think of the inconvenience. How many times did he have to miss work, couldn't go pick up the kids, couldn't go get the groceries, getting yelled at by his wife? The dude's probably divorced because of me. So, but I mean, seriously, you know, it's not just about your time on the job. It's about the inconvenience of the customer. That's really where we need to go to is, well, how can I better serve the customer? I heard one of the guys, maybe it's Joe Crusader or somebody, but like as a service professional, my job isn't just to fix today's issue. One of my guys said this to me the other day. I'm like, what is your goal when you go to a job, James? James says, My goal is if I touch that door, they're not going to have another problem for 10 to 15 years. That's his mindset. So now changing one roller that's broken, you're going to have nine other ones that go bad if it's a 7-foot door. So, and you know, I love that mindset, and I like it when the guys kind of, you just ask a kind of a dumb question and they knock a home run in the front of the rest of the guys. And hopefully it connects with one or two of them that is selling out of their own back, you know, back pocket there. And earlier on the pricing, you know, we used to ask our DC, an independent DC distributor, we used to ask him, what price do you think we can get for this? He doesn't know. Well, I think I've heard some guys charge this, that, and the other. I mean, I've seen this on the Facebook groups. Hey, guys, what's an appropriate price for a spring job or for a roller job or for a door? Now, maybe if it's a custom one-off, fine, but be careful who you're finding the info from. You're just going to take all their info and average it. Actually, you're going to go find all their info, find the cheapest guy, go $1 below them and say, I'm the cheapest in the nation. It doesn't really make sense because you're not going to be able to run a successful scaling. You can't scale at that size. So if you want to stay one man in a truck until your back breaks and then go on welfare, that's fine. You can do it that route, or you can figure out how to start charging appropriately where you can add teammates to it and manpower that'll help you get out of the truck and then actually run the business. If you do that, you can then focus on how do I help my team, you know, elevate basically, like Tommy's book, how do I help everybody elevate upwards? You know, now we are working on a better work-life balance. We do work our guys a little bit too long, but, you know, hey, that's the next step. So, but, yep. you know, when you live and you learn, that's kind of how it is. You don't know any better. It did help. You know, back in COVID, when all the prices started going up, we had to actually kind of investigate how to handle this. You know, like a door goes up $100. You know, we would just charge $100 more. That's all we would charge. So if it's 500, it goes to 600. We would just charge installed cost at $100. We wouldn't make one penny more off of that. That's the way we were thinking because we were charging labor off based on how we felt. And, you know, thank God I found Tommy Mello, read The Home Service Millionaire. He said, read E-Myth. What's E-Myth? I never knew what E-Myth was. If somebody doesn't look it up, it's by Michael Gerber. And then I read the E-Myth Revisited with, I think, Ken Goodrich. And I'm like, okay, so this is kind of how it's supposed to be. At the same time, my dad happened to catch on to Tommy's podcast and stuff. So thank God we found them. And started building the network there and communicating with him and a couple other friends in the garage door business and just kind of talk over what we're going through. And we're able to start confidently raising the pricing up. And that really helped because, you know, most of the team made more. We switched it from charging certain dollars. So if you do a job, you get to make $300 for labor. That's it. Or whatever it was, $300 or $400. It may have been $500. I don't remember. Now we charge a lot more. But then we just took percentages. It goes up 10%. I charge a customer 10% more, but at appropriate pricing. And now apparently we're one of the higher prices in Houston and we're still selling it to the customers and they're choosing us and they're educated. They know somebody's cheaper and they're still choosing us. And part of that is it's, you know, you increase your pricing. So underneath me, it says how to price your services so that everyone wins. So you got to be careful here. You can't just charge $2,000 more because you want a higher price. Or let's just take a service job. I'm going to charge $200 or $300 more for a spring job, whatever it is. Cool. If you do that, you can't be in and out of the garage like you used to when you're cheap in 30 minutes. It's not about how fast you are. It's not about how quick you are. It's about connecting to the customer, you know, bond with the customer, care about the customer, show them you care about them, you know, try to connect on the front side, give them some options. Oh my God, I didn't know you should actually give multiple options. Did you know there's different lifespans of springs? There's different cycle lives. Well, now I do. So, you know, connect with them, service it as good as you can, do an inspection. If there's any other issues, bring it up to the customer or the client, see if they want to move on and do it. It's up to them. We don't force them to do anything, do what they want. But my job's to educate them. And they know that I care. And I do truly care. It's not some con or anything like that. If you do your job right, you're connecting and you care about the client, because basically find your most loved one person. So my mom, I'm going to treat everybody. I'm going to treat my clients, maybe not my brother, but I'm going to treat my clients, you know, basically how I would want my mom treated. Okay. And it's not about price. I'm talking about the quality of work, quality of service, and what we're putting in. That works for me. You know, and I don't want my mom to ever have another problem again. So if something breaks, we're going to fix it, but we're not just going to fix it. We're going to fix it right. Or we're going to talk about possibly a new door, because actually that's probably going to fix it even better. She's got a pan door. Well, not anymore. She's got an insulated door. She doesn't have standard cycle springs. She's got lifetime springs that are rated for like 80,000 cycles or something. She doesn't have bearingless rollers. They should be illegal in our industry. They shouldn't even be made. All the manufacturers, bearingless rollers. I should thank them because it's a gold mine, but it shouldn't even be made. You know, let's put in some high cycle precision, you know, 6200 ZZ rollers. Let's do something like that. Let's make it as quiet and as smooth as possible with parts that are literally never going to break. I guess eventually it will if you're using heavy duty commercial use, but not a residential. So, you know, that's what would be to me how what would be treating my mom right. Now, if mom wants to choose a lesser expensive route, that's up to her. That's no problem. But let's make this an offer and let her choose and explain why this is best for her. And but we'll have three or four or five options for them, and they get to choose. There's no pressure. So that's what's weird. Higher tickets now have happier customers. That's what's insane. We thought we never wanted to make the customer mad. Oh, let me charge you as little as possible because I don't want you angry at me. As if I came in and broke your Genie opener or your LiftMaster opener that's 27 years old. You know, I didn't break it. It broke. What other appliance in your house lasts this long? So, you know, and come in and I'm apologizing. I'm so sorry, Rob. You're 70, you know, your 37-year-old Genie screwdriver doesn't work anymore. Is it okay if maybe we change it? I mean, come on. If you come in with that, you're not going to sell anything. You'll get lucky for the person that just feels sorry for you. So maybe that was my approach. So,
well, that's not bad. It is, and I get it. If I can just interject something and derail this, I don't want to take away the momentum. But the name of our Facebook group is G Door Heroes or Garage Door Heroes.
Okay,
and I did a pitch. It's about a 5-minute pitch, I'm going to say a month and a half or two ago, about being a hero. And it falls in line with what you just said here. You know, they're in a crisis. Chances are if it's a resi, they have called you because they can't get in or out of their garage. Chances are high on that. And imagine the different frame of mind that these customers might be in. It might be a young single mom. It might be somebody's mom, your mom, or, you know, or grandmother, somebody who is actually in a pickle. And this is your chance to, you could do a lot of things. You could be the cheap guy, you know, get in, get out. You could be a shyster, which boy, I sure hope nobody that I know or work with is going to take advantage of somebody in that moment. Or you can be that hero and take that time to do, as Cody's just talked about, you know, provide the very best service with the highest value at the right price and change their lives in that moment. So I'm a big fan of this.
Yeah, and I, you know, garage door hero, I like it. Like, we're garage door doctors, so we're the doctor of that garage door. It comes down to confidence and all that. But I was reading a book, Travis Rackley referred it to me, Rockstar Service or something like that. Rockstar Service. If anybody can, I would get it. I don't even know who the author is. But mostly, at least what I learned, there's probably a whole bunch of other stuff in there. But, you know, I'm really simple. Just learn one or two things from each book. That's good enough. But Rockstar Service, pretty simple, Rob. If I treat you like you're a rock star, guess what's going to happen? You're going to like me. You're going to know I care about you. You're going to buy from me. And I'm going to treat you better than you've ever been treated before in your life. And if the technician comes in there or the installer comes in there with that type of attitude, it's hard to lose. It's hard to lose. I don't, Rob, if you're a rock star, if you're my client, you are my rock star at that exact second. Okay. What do you want? I'm here and I only am focused on you. And, you know, to me, with that type of approach, that really does help. It helps connect, at least for me personally, it helps me to connect to the client and truly care about not just what's going on today, but what's also going to happen tomorrow, the next month, and the next year. And I don't know about you, but when stuff breaks at my house, if I'm spending money on me, I'm going to spend the cheapest amount. I am cheap, okay? But if my wife says something's broken, the AC breaks, a window breaks, what's the best one I can buy? Because I don't ever want to be, I don't want her and my kids to be inconvenienced again. If it's for me, I'd find something that has like I'd pop a window AC unit in. I don't care. But for her, it's, you know, they're going to care and they're going to make me care. That's what's going to happen. I'll hear about it if you don't fix it right. And so I really think once you educate the client that, no, it's not just this one roller. It's not just that one out of two springs that you need to change. And hey, when I change the springs, your bearings are also bad. Do you want your door to go off tracks? You know, I don't know when, but it's going to go off tracks. Everything's got about the same lifespan. And how many times do you want to be inconvenienced? Who was it? I forget who told me, but somebody said, I like this statement. I can be your best friend or a great memory. And you're like, what the hell does that mean? Well, you're going to see me every month to keep repairing little small items here and here, here and there, or this will be one great experience and you won't have to see me for a very, very long time, if ever. So you'll see me on your next house, not this one, because we're going to fix it right. And you know, clients, they'll choose either route and that's okay. We used to not give the better route, not give that as an option, not explain why we need to do that. And, you know, so since we kind of evolved and learned how to connect better with clients, how to slow down in the garage, that you got to slow down. I don't care how much connection there is and what price they pay. You charge $1,000 or whatever it is for 20 to 30 minutes, you're going to get a one star on Google, no matter how much they thought you cared about them. Okay.
Yeah. There's a threshold. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to slow down and you got to, you know, connect on the front end, do high quality, great work on the middle. And on the back end, you got to build value, show them every single thing in that garage, blow out the garage. I don't know if you saw my Facebook, my brother blowing out a garage the other day. These are simple techniques that you can do that actually the clients like. Nobody else has done it, including them. So do it. Leave it cleaner than it's ever been. So,
and then that's awesome.
This is how you get the referrals. This is how you get Google reviews. It's very simple, but it only took us since 1987 to figure out. We're pretty good on reviews, though. We were always good on that. So, but yeah.
Well, that's awesome. You know, in my business, which is sort of marketing and business development, we hear a lot of people talking about, you know, the fortune is in the follow-up. Okay. And so we can talk about that, but I want to talk about that from your perspective, the follow-up. And we talked about this the other day. You know, most people handle things right or well when things are good.
Yep.
When things go wrong, such as a warranty kind of moment. Yeah, you know, let's talk to a bit about that, because this has got to fall in line with when we raise our prices, right? We've got to increase our value. Yes. And I know you have a lot to say about that. I'm just going to let you take it.
So I'll come back to that. Fortune in the follow-up, I've heard that a lot in HVAC, and it does. And I think it works from marketing standpoint too. Like, oh, I want to think about it, just keep calling them. I do think for door sales and reviews, it does work. It does work. My top door sales guys, all three of them, they can all sell doors, but my top three guys, they are relentless on following up for door sales. They're relentless. You're going to hear from them every freaking day. As soon, they're not going to leave that garage until there's a follow-up appointment. Okay. Now, I don't know if follow-up's the right word for it, but whatever it is, we're going to keep calling you until you say no. We're going for no. That's what we're going for. And then the better ones, when you say no, they're going to ask why. Well, I found somebody cheaper. Oh, okay. what did they have? Can I see their quote? Because we showed you our quote. Well, it doesn't say. It just says 16x7 door. Okay, is it pan or insulated? What gauge? What model? If I can find the model, I'll rip into it because we use an exclusive one from us. And now we can pull value. Now I'm up high because I've got the best door there is in the industry. And now I can either go to a lesser door and see if we can match you, or, you know, there's ways to play that game because I have installers. I want them busy. If there's money to be made, we want to make it. But, you know, on the follow-up side, you can follow up on that, follow up on reviews. Rob, can you do me a favor and leave me a review? Are you happy with the five-star? Did I provide you five-star service? Rob, did I? Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you mind leaving me a review? It would help me and my family, not the business. You'll hear Tommy say this. Don't say it helps the business. Nobody gives a shit about the business. It helps me. We're the ones that connected. Okay, that's how you get the next job. That's how you get the referral. That's how you get your marketing from 22%, 25% to 4.5%, which is what we were at close of 2022. And some guys, now new construction and commercial, they may be a little bit lower, but in resi, it's hard to beat that. There's a few of us out there. I've talked to a few of them that have that. They're just living off the existing clients and referrals. But also, like, when the technician goes there, let's just say, you know, back in the old day, when I'd go to a job and we get a zero or dispatch fee only or just a service call, you know, well, way back when I was happy, but let's say lately, if I go to a job or one of my guys go to a job, it's funny about the different mindsets, and it comes back to mindset. And, you know, a third of the guys, they'll blame dispatch, they'll blame CSR, they'll blame the client. And they never blame themselves. And it shouldn't even be a blaming game. I was listening to Darius Livers. I probably mispronounced the name, but he's awesome. Okay, so I was listening to him the other day on one of the recordings I have of him. And he was talking about, it was actually Tommy's show. And he was talking about when he was in the field and he would get a low ticket or a zero. He didn't get that many zeros, but a low ticket. When he left, you know, he used to blame the customer, and then he decided, you know, maybe I should look about how could I have improved? What could I have done? What's that one thing I could have done to change my approach? Would this have worked better? And not now, you and I know not everything works 100% of the time, right? Okay. But instead of just giving that passing thing, oh, it's just a scumbag customer or something like that, that guy's an a-hole, they're cheap. Is there some other approach he could have done to capture the job? Did he start too high? Should he have started lower and just got a small bite of it and then built the ticket upwards? There's multiple ways to do it. But what I like about the mindset is we're not blaming dispatch. We're not blaming CSRs, and we're not blaming the client. What could you have done different that could have won? By the way, if you truly believe you are the best at whatever service you provide, for here it's garage doors, if you're the best technician and the best company in your region or in the world, I do have a big ego. So if you truly believe that, you should feel sorry for your customer, and you should feel bad about the way you performed, because if you did not capture that job, you're allowing that client to go to another company that's not going to provide the same service you are. And they're not going to provide possibly the same quality parts. They're not going to provide the same install. They're sure as hell not going to care as much about the client as you should. Now, part of that, you asked about warranties. If there is a warranty, you know, there's thunderstorms that roll in Houston apparently now every day. And, you know, it fries a control board or there's a surge that knocks something out. You can't quite prove it, but out of nowhere, the brand new opener doesn't work. You know, part of, you know, raising your prices also is raising your service. I've seen some people, they'll sell it for a lot or a little. It really doesn't matter. But if it breaks, hey, Rob, oh, I put it in last month for you. Oh, shoot, that's bad luck. I can schedule you 3 months from now. Would you like us to come out then? What are you talking about? My door doesn't open. No. So part of that, what I consider five-star service, but also if I'm charging five-star price, I need to provide five-star service. So yeah. I need to be able to get out there within 24 hours, preferably same day. Now, if you call me at 8 at night, sorry, bud. So, but I'll make it sound bad. I'll say, oh, I'm so sorry. But, you know, part of that service is how quickly can I get to you so I can make you happy. That's my job. The equipment I put in, the part I put in, or I did screw up somehow, some way, the wire didn't connect right. We need to make that right as soon as possible. Whereas other guys, because they're trapped in the truck and they're not charging the right prices, they don't have a big enough team that a teammate can go take care of this. Now, I'm a firm believer, if you make the mistake, you should go fix it. That's the best way a technician learns, especially if they're on some sort of performance pay. But, you know, on the other hand, if my client's trapped in the garage, I need it fixed as soon as possible. So, and that's where it comes down to a team and a culture that everybody's helping each other. A brotherhood, there's not that many sisters in the business, but a brotherhood or sisterhood, you know, that you're taking care of each other. And then when you screw up and there's bad quality work because you're lazy and it's 127 degrees heat index or whatever it is, when that other guy fixes it, take a picture, share it. We don't work like this. This is not what we do. You know, not here at Garage Door Doctor, at least. We had one the other day. A guy didn't staple the wire up. So we still make mistakes. He didn't staple it on the ceiling. Customer calls us. Like, we charge a lot. This is not the service. We staple the wire all the way. Okay. We got to provide that. We're out there as soon as possible. Client's happy. And then it's a teaching moment for the tech that, you know, he screwed up. He forgot. Okay. That's fine. But you can't forget when you charge premium pricing. So, you know, you got to do what's right. So, but he was frustrated. I understand. And it's like, well, this is why you take pictures, because if you took a picture, you would have seen that you missed that and you would have fixed it. So, but, you know, we live and learn. So
we do. But I want to get back to warranty idea, because this is, and you and I talked about this the other day, and I thought it just landed really, really solid with me. You know, that could be, that's likely, and you've already hit on it a little bit, that's likely the difference between sort of regular service and we'll call it blue ribbon or hero service. Because when they've paid for that new opener or new spring, what have you, they've paid for that, they got a great service, and a month later they have to call back. And they're nervous about calling back. They're nervous about what your response is going to be. And in that moment, we have that opportunity to really make a loyal forever, lifetime loyal friend, a fan, a customer by how we handled that moment, because they know they're not going to pay you again. They know that they might get treated with the whole, well, I can fit you in 3 weeks, or that's really not covered under our warranty. However, so when you can step in, when we, any of us in that position can step in and save the day, man, they will remember you and your company and your family. And then when they see you in the grocery store, they are going to rave about you. You know what I mean? And I think I just want to just take a moment and have all of us kind of consider what we're doing and how we handle those moments. And then,
I agree. And also there's ways to build a ticket that has longer warranties too. So you can sell an opener with a 30-day warranty. You can sell the same exact opener with 1 year or 2 year or 3 year. There's ways to build a ticket up. So, you know, how to price your services that everyone wins. These are ways that you can win, but you got to do what you promise, which is I'm going to take care of the client. The client comes first and I'm going to take care of them. And you're going to do it with a good attitude. We're going to do it to go learn. What did we mess up? Was it the manufacturer's fault? Bad luck? Who knows? But yeah, absolutely. A lot of times warranties cost you. Any job, at least for us in our previous, I don't know what it is under the A1 watch, but you know, in our previous one, I think we figured like $250 minimum, or the company isn't making a profit. The tech got paid, the CSR got paid, you know, the overhead is somewhat covered. Some client acquisitions could cost you $200 to $400 just for one call. And that's us. And that's, you know, that's, there's other markets. If you start doing PPC campaigns, it could be $200 a click. It could take 3 to 5 clicks for a call. Your CSR could probably, you know, hopefully they're at 80 to 90%, you know, booking rate, but maybe they're at 50%. I would go look at the CSR booking rates, by the way, guys and gals. That's, you want to find easy money? go find your booking rate from your CSRs. Go find that. How many people are we running off by spewing the price out over the phone? Well, Rob, I'm not going to drive out there for free, Rob. I'm not going to do it. Cool. You just possibly gave up a $700 job because you think you know what it is without seeing it over the phone. Sounds good. Give me the work. Send them my way. I'll pay your referral fee. We'll take care of them. You know, and, you know, everybody else gets paid. The ticket's $250 or less. Everybody else gets paid except for the business. So the business can't expand. The business can't invest in another technician or apprentice or an installer. The business can't invest in possibly a new marketing idea or technique that they don't know if it's going to work. It's a gamble, and they don't have the money to gamble because they're not charging right. But, you know, on the warranty side, so I'll go back and forth. On the warranty side, you got to take care of them. If you do it, if I go do a warranty for somebody, the one thing I'll do, I may not be good at sales. My brother would kick my butt. Heck, my whole team would kick my butt. That's the best thing. Surround yourself with people much better than you, and then you get to be the dumb one there, okay? you're like, they all feel sorry for you. Oh, there's Cody. But I'll tell you this, and I challenge my guys to do better than me. If I go to a house, I'm getting a review. I'm going to get a review, and I love to get reviews off of warranties. I do, because they're going to go out of their way and say, yeah, we had a hiccup, but they took good care of me. Because, Rob, if you were to change, let's take the HVAC. You spend 10, 15, 30 grand on an HVAC system. Wouldn't you like to see in the reviews, hey, we had a hiccup, so I spent 20K, but there was a problem. Let me ask you which one you want to see in a review somewhere. Hey, I spent 20K, there was a warranty. They yelled at me at the phone. They told me I'm going to charge you $95 to come out. You know, did you check? Did you go check your own Freon level, Rob? I mean, give me a break. They just put it in last week. Go on out and go fix it. Figure it out. If the customer's wrong, educate. You failed on the back end of building value by educating the client. That's where you failed at. But you tell me, you want to see a review like that, or do you want to see a review like, hey, man, I spent $20,000, $25,000 for a premium system. The dang thing broke the next day. There was a hiccup, but we called and they were out same day. They were out within 24 hours. They took good care of me. And oh, my God, they spent longer with me on the back end doing a warranty than they did installing it. And, you tell me, they took care of my wife. They took care of my family. And I really appreciate it. That's my HVAC or that's my garage door company for life. That's what you want to see. And, that's what the goal is. Not all clients will go out of their way to do it. But if you text them the link, they will. So, but, you know, we hammer reviews. I hammer reviews, yet this is about how to price a service. I guess we'll get there in a minute. But maybe on the next show. Probably the next show will be how to get reviews, and then we'll talk about the price. change the title. But, it's more than just changing the price. It's, it's the branding. It's the logo. It's the uniform. It's when I actually make eye contact with the customer and actually know their name is Rob, not sir or guy or man or mister. What's your last name? Don't know. You know, to actually care and pronounce something, make eye contact, smile. And, ask a couple questions. Like right now, we're talking before this aired, 80-20. The client should be talking 80% of the time. You should maybe talk 20%. And that 20%, you're really just asking questions back. Now here, I see it's a 99-1. 99 and 1 for you. So, but that's fine.
That works great.
Computer. So, you got to connect. You got your branding. So we got Dan Antonelli with Kick Charge for the branding. He did great. But you know what? You can have all the best branding and all the best marketing on earth. And if you do a terrible job in the garage, or you do a terrible job for service or warranties, or you treat the customer like trash, guess what just happened on the branding? It's really easy to see the company you never want to call again. Oh, that's that guy. He treated me like trash. Never calling them again. So, you got to start there. You got to start with the customer at first. Treat them like a rock star. That's the way I'd approach it. And then from there, it evolves. And how do I build value? How do I treat them better? And things like that. So do you want to get into the price now?
Hey, let's do it. And this is one that everybody worries about and frets about. And this is the part that I'm most excited about, just because we've talked about this in the past. And I know that you have some ideas that will help everybody, because everybody that's watching this has at some point recently gone, man, am I charging enough? Am I doing this right? I lost that job. Maybe I'm charging too much.
Yeah.
You know, and we fixate on that dollar sign, and chances are we weren't charging too much. Chances are we weren't charging enough. It's the value in our package. And okay, I'm done stealing the airways. It's all you. All right. Okay.
So the way I'll answer this is, I can tell you what helped us from end of 21 to let's say trailing 12 months from March to March. So March 2022, March 2023. So obviously what I would suggest for anybody that wants to improve, go learn who Tommy Mello is. Okay. Thank God. I was in his sales funnel on Facebook, and I found him. He just wouldn't get off my Facebook. And I'm like, all right, who's this dude? So read his book, listen to his podcast, Garage Door Freedom, the networking in there. Jeff Sanford, he's really helped us. He happens to work for Garage Door Doctor in Indianapolis, but two separate companies, just happens to be the same name. So, you know, build a network of people. I remember, I may be quoting it wrong, you know, your five closest friends, you'll be the average of the five closest friends. So, yeah. You know, if we're dealing with, if our five closest friends are losers, you're going to be a loser. Okay. So perhaps maybe one thing you could do is find a friend that's succeeding in life, and let's just aim a little bit higher. Okay. And maybe that comes off rough, but it is what it is. So, you know, I evolved, I found new friends and connected and learned from them and try to help them if I can. I don't know if they can learn from me, but I try. So, that's I give awesome, them bad man. Ideas. So, so what we did, my mindset for resi service and retrofit. Now, this isn't going to work for new construction builders. This won't work for commercial, maybe commercial service, but I think there's better margins on that if you're confident in your price. So what we did is we said, basically on new doors, what's my cost? I want my material cost no higher than 35%. And I want my labor no higher, which includes sales, install, and technician. I want all of that cost of goods sold 50% or less. It's about that simple. So that's what my goal is. And for 99% of the jobs we do, that's where it's at. Now there's some doors that may cost you $7,000 your cost. Well, you know, you're probably not going to get $21,000 for it or whatever that math is. I haven't figured it out. So you can always move a few of the higher ticket doors a little bit less, where there's still great profit at the end of the day. But that's what we did. And that helped when we did that and priced our openers and our doors that way. We started making more money. We're able to invest it and start paying our guys a little bit more. We started investing on educating, training, and helping them find ways to make more for their family. So for us, service 35%, labor 15%. Now, spring jobs, we have a much higher markup on, obviously, but, you know, I'm talking about the bigger ticket stuff. And that's really what helped us, because we used to price off how we felt at the time. And guess what? If it was me or my dad or my brother having to install it, well, $300 to $500 to install a 16x7 door, and it's a 3-hour round trip to go to the DC and come back, that wasn't worth it. So what do, Rob? I talked my client into fixing their trash door. That's not treating them right. That's not treating them right. And, so that's what we did. Now, I've got guys in the city that are charging $1,250 for a 16x7 door, pan door. And I don't want to say a price here, but we're charging a lot more than that. We're over double them, and we're winning because we care about the client, because we can. The customer can tell that dude's worn the hell out. The customer can tell when he called on the phone and the dude's probably on the ladder with greasy hands because he can't afford a CSR. And he did exactly what we used to do. What do you want, Rob? That's not how you treat the client. When you answer a phone for the business, you're a CSR. You better have a smile on your face. You better have a good attitude. So, but he couldn't afford a CSR because he's not charging enough. And that's what we did. And we started doing that. We started making a lot more profit. It was shocking. We were a little scared. We're like, you think we could charge that much? Man, do you think you could charge? Oh, my God, Rob, can we go to $150 for a set of rollers? I don't know. Can we? Let's try it. Oh, my God, Rob, they still bought it. Rob, can we go to $175 now? I don't think we can. They did. And so, you know, it evolved like that. And, you know, now we're at $275 to $325 for a set of rollers. And that's fine. It's going to last them a lifetime. So it may go up even more. So, and the customer likes it. They're happy with us. And it's okay to make profit. So hopefully it makes sense.
Heck yeah. Of course that makes sense. That's fabulous. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about the tech. You know, sometimes the techs are selling out of their own pocket, but they probably have families that they need to support.
Yeah.
And how are some other ways? How are some ways in which we can pack? And let's just use rollers for an example. But these people need to know that they're investing not just in the rollers, but they're investing in you guys.
Yeah.
And that you're going to, and so you had to take some time, and we mentioned this when we talk about doubling our fees or raising our prices, what happens to our team frequently?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. A lot of them leave. A lot of them think we're crazy, and we have to help them understand and get them mentally invested in the game and how we do this. And we end up with everybody happy and everybody feeling like we're in a win-win situation.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm going to bounce around like a squirrel. That's apparently how I think. Fine, whatever. I'm over it. I'm okay with that. So
own it.
I will own it. I love squirrels now. So let's see. So for me, again, in residential, I haven't seen it successful in commercial yet, but I don't do commercials, so we'll see about that. I'll investigate it if I ever need to. I'm a fan of performance pay. I'm just a fan of performance pay. I've talked to some of my friends in the industry, and you know, I reach out. I can learn from them. Maybe they learn something from me. Who knows? But anyways, I reach out. Some people are paying their guys hourly. Hourly. Okay, that's fine. And I stay HR compliant. Go investigate that. I don't care. Just figure that part out. I don't want to get you locked up, you know, in jail for not treating your coworkers right. But you know, when they say hourly, I say, well, how long is your typical opener install in a retrofit scenario? 3.5-4 hours. Yeah, I know. Of course it is, because you're paying them hourly. They're going to make their $80, aren't they? So let me ask you, Rob, if you're a technician and I paid you 15% of revenue or of profit or whatever, maybe we should go off profit if you're scaling, unless you can look into every ticket. I think you'd be incentivized to be a little bit more efficient on that job. Okay. Now we need to be careful. The ticket is built ethically. Okay. We got it. You got your sales process. We got to follow sales process. We're not here to lie, cheat, and steal. Okay. But let's just assume we have the right culture and right core values here. And everybody is aligned on that, which is treat the client right at all times. But anyways, you tell me what's better. What incentivizes that guy to do this job quicker? I've talked to people that their technicians can only do two openers a day. Well, when you go to new construction, they have piece rate people. They could do 4 to 8 doors a day. So how's that possible? Because they're getting paid by the piece. So they're getting, it's performance pay. You could do pay by the piece. You could do, I like percentage, because they win when you win. If they discount the hell out of it, they lose just like you lost as a company. So my preference is paying off of that. My preference is paying off of revenue instead of profit. Now, there has to be governors there, because these guys, they find that out. They'll just say, 5K, but I'll give you everything you want. No. You got to have the right profits too. But so as you scale, you'll probably shift it to percentage of profit. But if you got a team of, you know, 8 to 15, maybe 20 guys, you could probably, if you like to work like I do, you could watch it and you'll be okay. But what incentivizes them, A, to take better care of the client? Like back in the day, I was just paid whatever I was paid. I was paid hourly. I didn't care. All I did is I didn't want to see that many clients, because why would I? I'm working 8 hours or 10 hours and it doesn't really matter to me. I'm not making a penny more if I take better care of them by changing everything that's broken. So I'm not incentivized to do that. Now, I'm not greedy. I didn't do it on a purpose. I wasn't trying to mistreat people. But, you know, that's the way it was. And then now we go to performance pay. Well, now I am incentivized to make sure the client's taken care of. And they get to choose. And it's fine. I don't make ultimatums. If you make ultimatums, that's a problem. I didn't give you a choice to choose the premium versus mid-grade or low-grade. I don't carry low-grade, so that's already out. So, yeah. But, you know, to me, I like performance pay. It worked really good, at least for resi service. I think, you know, if you have an installing wing, I think that that performance pay or piece rate's better than paying hourly also. Now, you can do it based off of sold hours. If a door is 16 by 7 doors, 3 hours, you pay him whatever you figure you need to pay him for that. Now, the thing is, if that dude does it in an hour and a half and the client is happy, we got to be careful. We're not done in 30 minutes because you're still charging a premium, right? But if he does it in an hour and a half, cool. He still gets paid for the 3 hours. But it's not $20 an hour either. It's like 30, 35, 40 bucks an hour or whatever it is. So a sold hour. Hopefully they go do 3 or 4 doors for you and they made a killing. And then your company made a lot of revenue. It opens up capacity without having to hire a whole bunch of people. It opens up capacity because each guy's more efficient. You know, and then when you run into the problem where I don't have enough leads, here's the thing. Maximize your current tickets. Maximize the houses you're at. You know, are we actually taking good care of them or are we just resplicing one sensor and we never even oiled the door, never did the tune-up, never looked at anything else? And, you know, I guess it's a whole sales process and I'm learning a new one right now. But, you know, that's the way that we try to do it. Let's put it that way.
I love it. So if we fast forward, if we just kind of let's rewind before you did performance pay to right now, how's the mood? How's the morale of the techs? And I mean, is everybody sad and grumpy because we went performance pay? Is everybody happy? I mean, what?
So yeah, good question. They're not grumpy. No. When you change this stuff up, it comes down to mindset and it kind of comes down to how do you sell it to your team? The way we sold it to our team is I'm giving you a raise, but I'm not going to just give you a raise. Hey, Rob, give me 50 cents more an hour, please. I'm going to go out there in summertime and die in the city of Houston for you. Can I just have 50 cents more an hour? No, you can't, Rob. You can go get it yourself. You're going to give yourself a raise. But what I would suggest, if your prices are lower, raise your prices and tag it with a performance pay at the exact same time and show these guys how they get to provide more for their family. If they're not on a pathway for 100K or more, it's either you failed them in training. They should have never been on your team, perhaps. You failed them in training or you're not paying them enough. Your residential garage door tech should be able to make 100K. They should have the opportunity to be on the pathway to 100K. I've got a 21-year-old that's making 150. Okay. He left a $60,000 guaranteed job as a manager at a Valvoline, but he was capped. He knew they're not going to make you area manager until you're at least 30, 35. So he was never going to make a penny more. And he quit that job to join us and he earned his way to where he's at. And he's recruited people for us. As a matter of fact, he was a referral from one of my other techs that's making similar. Now, not all my guys make that much, but I try to make it crystal clear to all of them. If you're the top earner or the bottom earner, you can make this. It's not rigged. You can make this. You can do this. Now, maybe I got to work on their mindset a little bit more. But, you know, you do the best you can. But they cap themselves. Just like I cap myself on selling out of my own wallet. Some of these guys, maybe some on my team, hopefully not anymore, sometimes they cap themselves on what they think they're worth. And I think they're worth a lot more. And I think their family, to provide for their family, they should make a lot more, but they got to go out and they got to earn it. It's not just about turning a screwdriver anymore. Okay. So, you know, that's my opinion on that.
I think that's awesome. And I hope that everybody's gears are working right now to kind of figure out how this can maybe be applied in in your shop, because I've never met this guy, the tech that left a $60,000 job that he was capped out at, and now he's making $150,000. I'm going to guess he's happy as can be. I'm sure he'd like to make more, and he's going to figure out how to optimize and become more efficient to make more. But that's kind of what I was wanting to get at was, look, they've now got motivation. Now they've got ambition. They want to go out and get more and do better. Now, what about, go ahead.
1 second. On that part, you know, for him, how does he get better? He can flip more doors. He's good. He's great at service. He can learn more to flip doors. He can sell more doors, go from service to sales. That's what he can do to make even more for himself. We do work a lot. So currently we work 6 days a week. I work seven, but he works 6 days a week. So maybe another thing is a work-life balance. And that's really one of the reasons we partnered with A1 is I wanted a better work-life balance for the guys. But to get there is a better sales process that we didn't have the energy or time to install. They've already figured it out. I love their entire team. So, and most of what we learned is pretty much from them. And then we just actually implemented it. So, you know, maybe the people that watch this over the next, you know, day or 2 months or 3 months, if 1% implements, that's all that it'll be. By the way, Rob, only 1% will actually try something and actually stick with it. Just be hard-headed and do something that we said here. It worked for us. It worked for us. I think my dad, I don't keep ages very well, but he's like 62-ish, okay? And he owns the company, and he invested in trying this. He invested in taking me out of the field and say, go turn on service time. What's service time? What's a CRM? What's a CSR? We didn't know. Tommy's like, go get a CRM. We got confused with that in a CSR. So we're pen and paper. So we're running a shop at $4 million revenue at the end of 2021 with pen and paper. Hell, we were into midway through 2022 before we got on our CRM. Now, when we got on service time, because you just had Tom Howard on there, and wow. I always give him a you got to sandwich him, but I sandwich him with negativity and then positivity. So it's not a sandwich. It's like an open sandwich, okay? Implementing it was hard. It was really hard because we went from pen and paper. What's a QuickBooks? You know, what's a QuickBooks? What's a CRM? What's a dispatcher? You know, so we learned all this stuff, and we had to. One thing on service time, they don't conform to the business. The business conforms to the way service time runs, and that's different for us. Like, we're used to being adaptable and changing everything we do for everybody, and we had to kind of conform to service time. But once we did, we're able to actually understand where our numbers came from. At the end of June of 2022, we finally figured out that 3% of our stops, total stops, includes warranties and all that, equals 15% of our revenue. So it doesn't take you that long when you can actually run reports and see, where's my money coming from? How do I get more of it? Rob, maybe we should do more of those. Maybe we should do more of those. What do you think? Do you think that would help the business? So, yeah, that's when we actually literally figured out that we ought to sell more doors. And I'll tell you something that we figured out lately, and some of it's from the networking side, sell insulated doors. We're in Houston, you know, again, selling out of the back pocket. You don't need an insulated door. You could ask me for an insulated door a year and a half ago. I would tell you, you don't need that. You need a pan door. That's stupid. Insulated doors are stronger, quieter, energy efficient. And, you know, that was dumb. We left money on the table. So any of my techs that follow me after I was there, they can make so much because I left it all there. So, but you know, knowing your numbers, knowing a ballpark of the numbers, Tommy would say, know every penny. Okay, cool. Well, how about we just know ballparks first? Let's know the ballpark and then we'll get to the exact stuff. So that helped us. That also helped us put on a TV our guys' numbers, meaning their average tickets, their completed revenue, their average ticket, their conversion rate. We never tracked that. We thought you were the best in the world if you do 8 to 10 stops a day. That's how we ran our business. So, and look, you can run a business successful. We did. We were in business. We were making money. we weren't making as much as we should have. But, you know, you can run a business that way. But was that really fair to that technician to have to do 8 to 10 jobs a day? I don't think so. Why not give him a tool or two or a little bit better training that, hey, man, you can do like 3 to 4 stops a day, 3 to 4 stops a day, and you can make more than you've ever made in your life. And you can enjoy it. It wears me out to go to 8 to 10 stops a day. I don't care if they're 10-minute stops. And so sometimes because we, you know, one thing I'm proud of my team, we never lost any of the core members when we switched to service time, switched to pure performance pay, not pay you off of how we feel. We always took care of our technicians, though. We never underpaid our technicians. Well, somebody might feel like we did, but we never underpaid our technicians. So that part, but we pay them off of how we felt. And then let's just go into it. Some guys, as we do it retroactively, you do the math. You might have some people that didn't get good tickets that might have made in a month 20-22% of the ticket, their average of revenue. That's what you paid them. It's too much. That's too much in garage doors. Unless you add a zero to the end of that door, that's way too much. So what we found is we weren't paying appropriately. My top guys were getting paid less percentage. They were making more, but they're getting paid less percentage. But it wasn't on purpose. We just paid based off how we felt. So it wasn't consistent. Rob, what'd I make right here? I don't know. Whatever we felt like paying you at the time. What's my mood? That's if I'm in a bad mood, you got paid less. So, you know, we changed everything from dollar amounts to percentages. That really helps. When I say marketing is going to cost you, you know, Google, I don't know. I think we spend $10,000-$12,000 a month on that. Oh my God, that would have been the end of the world a year and a half ago. End of the world. But when you put it in terms of percentages, it's not that much. That's okay. Yeah. Now you want to get it attributed. You want to know what this money brought in. You know, am I getting a 10-to-1 ROI? Am I barely breaking even? Am I losing money? You do want to know that stuff. And that's stuff that we're getting a little bit better on now. You don't have to know everything day one, but you know, that's knowing your numbers is helpful. Doing some sort of actually consistent system. You can do some spiffs. If I got a guy that drives an hour and a half to take care of a warranty, I'm probably going to give him $30 to $50, even if it's a zero. You can pay him a little extra here and there. You can do that when you actually have a system. There's a little extra money there that you can cushion some people. That way, if they get screwed over, that they're going to still make ends meet. Yeah. And most of the team, I think, enjoy it. There is a little bit more pressure than they were used to because, remember, we didn't lose anybody.
Right.
That I'm really proud of. It's a good and bad thing because we could have flipped the switch quicker. We could have done everything a lot quicker to implement if we just flipped a hard switch and say, that's how we're doing it today. Right. And if you don't like it, go to hell or go work for a competitor. But the thing is, you lose your entire workforce if you do that, or everybody but three, me and my brother, my dad would have stayed. So we didn't lose anybody based off of that. We lost some because the system did its job, and the people that weren't performing couldn't make enough that they wanted. And, you know, that's where we come back to victimhood from earlier. Dispatcher hates me. CSR hates me. Cody hates me. Customer hates me. And maybe they just hate themselves, unfortunately. You know, at some point, look yourself in the mirror. What could I have done better? I bet you could have done a lot better. Now, me, my job was to lead, and I didn't do a good job coaching. But I'm not going to blame them. Hey, it's your fault. No. I didn't do a good job coaching. I just let them flounder until they quit. So I did fail them, and I'll work better at that. It's something I got to learn. You know, it is what it is. I wish they're still here because they're my babies or my friends, one or the other. Depends on their age. So you know, I don't like losing good talent. And that's the thing. They had great talent, but something in our training failed them. Or when we started to see them flounder, I didn't catch it in time, or I was too busy doing other things that I was distracted. So I did fail. I failed them. But, you know, also they can look in the mirror and say, what could I have done better? I don't do real good with victimhood. I will promise you that I probably won't connect well on that. if you're blaming everybody else, especially my dispatcher, I've never seen April. I've never seen a person work so hard. I don't pay hourly. Thank God, because we'd be paying her a lot. So you start blaming her, you start blaming my CSRs. You want to jokingly do it, I'm okay. I mean, we're all good. I understand a little frustration, but when it's a consistent blame, yeah, I'm not going to be the right guy to talk to at that point. I won't be in the right mindset. So,
Good for you. Standing up for them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, and perhaps that's where you pull them to the side. They're basically giving you flags, and there's a red flag, and let's pull them to the side and coach them up instead of being a little tougher. I could have handled it differently, but it is what it is, and they're not here anymore, but I wish the best for them. But for the core group, they weren't the core group. They were later hires, which also presents probably not the correct hire to begin with. I missed something in the interview and in the training. But on the core group, they stuck with it. They're hard-headed, and they stuck with it, and they did the best they can. And we every day we probably have some failures. And the thing is, can we learn from it to do better? And they all intend well, and they all are coachable and with good attitudes most of the time, although you get worn out, and I understand there will be little flare-ups here and there.
Yeah.
And that part I'm really proud of for them, because most of the time you go to a different shop, you go to service time from pen and paper, everybody quits. I don't want to do service time. Okay, fine. Or house call pro or whatever. But I don't know why you'd want to use that trash over service time. Service time's the best. There you go, Tom. There's your spot, bud.
There you go.
But we wouldn't have gone where we got if it wasn't for service time. We would not have. And it was a battle to implement. But we would not be where we are now if it wasn't for them. And I am serious about that. My guys wouldn't perform as good if it wasn't for them. So it's not just the spot for service time. I truly do appreciate the software and the people that work there. It just takes a minute to figure out who you need to talk to get stuff done there. But anyways, back to the business side. I'm very proud of them to be able to adapt, because a lot of times you give them a CRM from pen and paper. I don't want to do this. I'm not doing this. I'll go work for the guy down the street that pays me hourly. They pay me the same hour rate. So there's another problem with the hour rate. And then you go pure performance. That's a little scary based off of, the way we were paying beforehand. That's a little scary. It's not consistent. If you don't perform, you don't get paid that much. Now, we cushioned it in, like, we're going to take care of you. We're going to take care of you, and things like that. So we kind of slowly implemented it, and perhaps we should have done it a little bit quicker, because that would have gotten the attention better. But anyways, it worked out. We didn't lose them over that. The prices, that helped, because as we did performance pay, we raised the price same time. So now the opportunity to give yourself a raise was there. Previously, there wasn't. And
that's what I love about that.
That's what I like. Now, the only downside is you can't just raise the price and perform the exact same way you used to, which was 30 minutes paid jobs at $800 or $500 or whatever. I don't care what you charge. 30 minute spring jobs, even at $200, is too quick. You need to provide better value, make it last an hour, hour and a half, and have a performance there for the client. Now, half the people listen to this, they're going to cuss me out somewhere and think I'm a scumbag. But that's why they'll always be in a 1-2-3 man band, and they won't be able to evolve. And when they are ready, they can DM me, and I'll reach out to them, and I can help them. And because it worked for us, because that used to be us. We thought charging more made us, a scumbag, and it doesn't. I don't know more ethical people than us. I don't know more ethical people than the A1 people. I don't know happier people than the A1 people. We all have bad days, but when you get to actually slow down, and it's not about the spring, but it's about you, Rob, the client, that changes the perspective, or it should. At least it does for me, and I'd say most of my guys. So hopefully all. So or we'll have another problem.
No, that is so cool. That is so cool. Now, I have one more step that I want to take this conversation. Then I want to open it up for you to take a minute, because I know you wanted to talk about something that's near and dear to you. But you made a lot of changes. We'll just kind of rewind, a year and a half. You've made quite a bit of changes between, Service Titan and the pricing and the pay structure. And we lost some that were probably just not the right fit in the beginning, but we have to take our company in this direction. Yeah. So did you guys, and I, this is a loaded question, but have you guys seen in the last few months, business has gone, is it on a decline, or how's your graph? How's your graph going in the last couple of months?
All right. So everybody's going to think I'm full of it. It's a rocket ship up, bud. We're going nowhere but up. So I also like to give credit to Al Levy and the Seven Power Contractor, by the way. So I got to understand, and I wish, like, you have his book. Boom, baby. There you go. So he's a great mentor. He's a great mentor of mine. Tommy is, Jeff Sanford, Kim Goodrich, Tom Howard. Like, dude, anything you can learn from these people, do it. You know, on that, actually implementing systems. Now, we worked hard on it. It wasn't a hard line, and we could have implemented better. But as we phased it in, it did help. It helped the guys actually know what the hell they're supposed to do. Okay, what in the hell are you supposed to do? It depended beforehand. It depended on my mood or my dad's mood. It was a good day or a bad day. And what you're supposed to do depended on what mood we were in. Okay, so like you're a technician. Your job is to take care of the client. That's your only job now. That's ideal. And it used to be all over the place. We would not really have a system of a sales process. Now we're going to learn a better one. We'll upgrade there. But we didn't have a sales process. But actually implementing this stuff and then with service time helping hold them accountable a little bit, it really did help the management side. I think it helped the guys. They may not have loved it at first, but I think they understand that it was for the best. But on business is booming because if you treat the clients right, they're going to treat you right. They're going to go out of their way to leave you a review, a referral. They're going to want premium. They're going to call you back when they didn't. By the way, when you do build that ticket, like I'm here for the opener, but hey, your door weighs 25 pounds. So do you want to change the spring out? Nah, I can't afford it right now. 2 months later, they call you back because you planted the seed that there's a problem. And it wasn't a lie. It was the truth. Put it on a scale and you show them. So there is no BS there. That's simple. They can see it. It's plain as day. And so business is booming. It can do even better. Yeah. I'm excited about the new marketing stuff that we're going to have turned on pretty soon once we get our guys appropriately trained to the new way of doing business again. So, there's no problems on that. Leads are great. But for those that say I need leads all the time, I would say slow down. Slow down with the clients you do have. Slow down on the leads you do have. Build a bond. They'll reward you either A, with a higher ticket or a referral and a review. The reviews are referrals, by the way. They are. So they are. Nextdoor is a gold mine. I shouldn't tell you this, but have them leave your phone number in Nextdoor all the time. So, business is great for us, and we're expanding. So we got.
There we go.
We got six guys coming in at the end of July that are going to be fully trained and hitting the vehicles. So we're going to have, I believe it's 21. It's hard to keep count now. It's amazing. So 21 techs / installers and it's booming. So in a 3-year horizon, I'd expect us to be 50 to 60 is what the goal is on technicians, installers, maybe even more. Houston's massive and there's business here. And it's an untapped market, and we're going to tap it. So we're going to go all over. So
there we go. So cool. I'm very proud of you guys to see, for you to talk about where you came from, where you're at, and the trajectory that you're on. Fabulous. Now let's talk about where you and I met, right? You and I met at the A1 shop, right? Their facility, and it's an education facility. And it's their own garage door facility. Let's talk about how that's changed your life and go for it. I'm just going to sit back and let you talk. Yeah.
So it's changed my life. It's changed my dad's life. It's changed our probably family legacy, to be honest with you. So we've been acquired now by them. That just happened June 15th of 2023. But before that, they've helped us. They've helped give us more freedom. We still like to work. So like, they're like, Cody, take off. Not going to happen. So, we still like to work, but they've given us more freedom. We're going to work on our guys' work-life balance a little bit more. And that's what I'm really happy about for the team. But yeah, we met at Vertical Track. For people that don't know, Vertical Track is basically a business seminar for garage doors. But to me, the seminar is great, and you will learn, and you'll get contacts, and if you sit in the front row, you're going to learn. The people in the back aren't going to learn. They're just there for the alcohol. And, they're just here and they're just hiding. And, I used to be the guy that sits in the back. Now, maybe if I'm late, I will. But, I used to be the guy that sits in the back, don't notice me. And that's still kind of my personality. But may not seem that way, but it is. But when you go to a business seminar, go sit in the front row or as far up as they'll let you be from whatever ticket price you bought. Go sit up there, go learn from the speakers, go talk to the speakers. When you're in a table, go ask those people, hey, what do you do? I'm a plumber. What area? I mean, they might be right next door to you and you can refer each other. You can learn from them. And anyways, on Vertical Track, we got to do this awesome. So in 2021, we went out and we go down to Vertical Track. I think I met you a little bit later than 2021s, but we go to Vertical Track. We do a shop tour of the A1 shop over in Phoenix. And I'll tell you, I've never met so many, what I thought is employees, but really they're Tommy's coworkers. And I guess they're now my coworkers. Never met so many people with smiles on their face at work. You're happy at work? I don't know. I wasn't happy at work. They're smiling. It's not just a show, like we're just sneaking in a room and like they're smiling and laughing and it's kind of fun. And I'm like, this is pretty amazing. It's a massive place. I didn't know you could have that in garage doors. I thought we were big and no, we were nothing compared to them. And I said, oh my God, it was an eye opener. When you go to a business seminar, you get to hear Al Levy, you get to hear Joe Crisera, you get to listen to Dan Antonelli, Eric Van Dam. If you ever thought about selling, he would be a good one to listen to. Darius Livers, he knows everything, but the way he talks about, promotions or what we would call financing, it's really amazing. It really did change our life. I got to meet Eric Parks, which is it's A1's top tech. I don't care what the rest of them say. So I got to meet Eric Parks and Tommy was gracious enough to let me spend half a day with them out there. And I'm like, dude, can you actually get these prices? Like, you can't get this, right? How do you sleep at night, Eric? He's like, I've got a beautiful family. I've got a beautiful wife and my bed is comfortable. So he now owns his own house and he's got a beautiful family. And, how do you sleep at night? That's the dumbest question that a scumbag. I did it out of love, though. Okay. I didn't know. So
yeah.
It wasn't accusatory. It was just, at my time, we're still cheap pricing wins. Right. And so you got to meet Eric Parks and he's another mentor of mine and got to spend some time with him. And, we walked away. We said, we got to do a bunch of stuff. We tend to be a little bit overthinkers and we're like, just send it. We'll send. Okay. So anything's better than nothing. So, we hired Dan Antonelli to do the rebrand for our logo right there. There we go.
There we go. So, good job, Dan.
So, what we thought was an okay logo, but this one stands out. And I understand now on the Vans, it's a mobile billboard rolling down, fully wrapped, professionally done. And it really helps us stand apart and it's going to be sticky. We're not blended. We're branded, not blended. And it's really going to add to us as we go in the future here. So it's kind of it's a compound interest return there. Al Levy, we got to learn about systems and processes. We didn't know what a system and process was. I'll still say I'm pretty bad at still putting out fires. I'm a fire chaser still. I need to learn and actually like, here's a system. So you're not putting as many fires, but he's great. He knows everything. Tommy gives him a lot of credit too. Like he knows more than just system and process. He knows marketing. He knows branding. He knows it all.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Seven powers. Sure. I'm hearing there might be another one after that, but, Joe Crisera on the sales training. I was able to actually learn you should give customers options. We didn't know that. Like I would just tell you one thing and that's it. And, eye contact, never used to do that. I was always nice and I was friendly, but like I'd talk to you, I wouldn't stare at you. So, you don't stare at them, don't make it creepy now.
right.
We didn't know that when you get into a garage, you walk in you know, I used to just say spring's broken in 20 seconds. You're going to tell me what's wrong. Rob, what's wrong? Well, the door won't, their spring's broken. I'll just cut you off mid-sentence like an idiot. Now, what I didn't know, and now I do, but you could have spent 2 hours trying to figure out why that door didn't work, and I knew it in a second. I just called you a moron without me calling you a moron. I didn't know that, but that's the way it would come off. Now, again, I had a smile. I didn't intend that. There was no intention there to be bad or to be rude. But that's how we handled it. And, you know, we would be done the job in 20 minutes. And we learned to slow down. And I think we still need to learn to slow down a little bit more. But, you know, we learned all that stuff. We implemented that stuff. I got to meet some great friends, literally my best friends I met either through Facebook groups or Vertical Track and Tommy. Okay, so Jeff Sanford, Eric Parks, Tommy, Jeff Gablesberg, Paul Weiss, and a lot of others that they'll probably hate me for not mentioning right here. But, you know, I got to meet some of my best friends there are, and we can now talk shop. And talking shop isn't a waste of time. What's your trouble? What's my trouble? We can learn from each other. And what your trouble is today, Rob, may not be my trouble today, but I might have that problem 6 months from now.
Yeah,
I might. And, you know, I may not have a lead problem now. You may have a lead problem now, but while we're talking, I'm going to, believe me, if you say something curious, I'm writing that down. Okay. May not apply today, but it might apply later. And the same thing. And some stuff that I've been through that you haven't been through, you know, you might be able to learn from us. And sometimes just talking it out loud to somebody that's been in the same shoes as you, a lot of times you'll just teach yourself. You know, I don't know if you really learn until you teach, to be honest with you. I think teaching helps you learn. That's probably a statement somewhere. So I listen to a lot of Audible books, so I probably stole that somewhere. But, you know, that really did help us. And, you know, Megan likes actually knowing your numbers. Numbers? What's a QuickBooks? So, you know, we didn't know what QuickBooks was. We didn't need it. We had an accountant that did that for us. And, you know, we're able to improve. And basically our EBITDA is basically 7x in a year and a half-ish. So
wow, guys.
So
that needs to 7x in a year and a half. EBITDA. Yeah. 7x. Yeah. I hope everybody's listening. I hope everybody makes it to this point. That's a punchline.
And so people that don't know what that is, let's translate what EBITDA is. Basically, it's profit, and there's a few add backs or subtractions. Okay. So, but that's where we're at. And we wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't have gotten to that level if it wasn't for the networking. And I'll say this, my dad was in on it the entire way. Now we butted heads. Okay. But we would not have been able to do it if it wasn't for him. And if it wasn't for the team, it's not me, it's them, it's him, my brother, you know, my mom, and then our friends that we found and pushing each other. And that's where, you know, like I'll come back to service time for people that don't understand it. Show your guys' numbers to the entire team. Actually, we never had a team meeting, Rob. What the hell is a team meeting? That's stupid. Why would you do that? What a waste of time. That's the way we used to think. We never knew. We didn't know. But then we got invited to be able to attend, shouldn't say this, but to attend one of the Bring the Fire team meetings that Tommy has at A1. And we got to see the guest speaker Darius there before Vertical Track. And oh my God, it's like, yeah, this works. I understand it. And if for anything else, now maybe we're not very motivational, could probably work on that. We're a little bit more numbers driven. But if anything else, have the guys look at their numbers and let's go through it and let's rank them. I don't tell you, Rob, you're number 7 out of 7. You're terrible. No. We're not doing that. But have it listed in ranking. Who's the best and go in order down. And one thing I still have to learn, apparently, Rob, you praise in public and criticize in private.
Oh.
So whatever. So so I'm not going to lie.
Those are tough lessons.
Sometimes I'm a little rough. Okay, whatever. I don't intend to be bad. But, you know, but have the ranking because here's the thing. If your guys are competitive and that's who you want on your team is competitive people. And if they're not, they're in the wrong position. Find them a different position in the company. So if you actually raise your prices, you can hire out. And maybe if they're not a tech, maybe they're a CSR. Maybe they're not a tech, but maybe they're an installer. Maybe they don't like to sell. I don't know. Maybe they can be a warranty guy for us. It's still a team effort. You know, the quarterback and the wide receiver and the running back, they always get the credit for the touchdowns and the score, right? Well, you wouldn't win if it wasn't for your defense. That quarterback couldn't throw the ball if it wasn't for your offensive line. The coach had to still make the play call. You know, you had to practice. I saw Deion Sanders said this. I wish I had the exact quote, but it was basically like, by the way, somebody should follow is Deion Sanders. Like, that dude's legit. You're like, you've never seen my best plays, Rob. The hell do you mean? My best plays were on the practice field. Practice? What's practice? Oh, we should actually continue to train our people and practice what we preach? That's amazing. That's something we're working on now. You know, so you can get pretty far without doing that part. But, you know, it's we didn't know that. And it's okay. It's not about what you didn't know. It's about what you learn and you actually implement. And you may not have all the pieces in the right place, but as long as you're starting to do something, it'd be better than just sitting down moping saying, why am I not getting calls? Well, I'll tell you why you're not getting calls, because now you're working on marketing when you're slow. You should have worked on marketing when you're busy so you're not slow, but you couldn't because you're trapped in the truck. That's why you're slow. And now you work on marketing, you do the few local things, you start getting some calls. And then you're going right back into the truck because now you're busy, and because you can't afford anybody else, you can only afford one guy. And now you're busy for 2 months. Good job. But then you're going to have a month of slow because you're not focused on the AI system. The algorithms change on Facebook and on Google and whatever the hell else you use nowadays. You know, and by the way, just hiring all SEO people doesn't always work. You need to kind of know what's happening and to hold them accountable. You don't just take it. Goodbye. Guess when you tell me, Rob, when do people complain to marketing companies? Probably when they're slow, right?
Yep.
They should have been holding those marketing companies accountable when they're busy. Like, what are you doing for us that we're paying you based off of? And you know, get some reports and know that stuff's evolving. And sometimes the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Okay. So if not, they're not complaining. I guess we're doing good for them. How do you know there's a problem? You know? So, yeah. These are things that we learned. Vertical Track, Garage Door Freedom, which is a best practice business group. There's also rebates you get if you use their vendors. That stuff's really helped me. Crystal and George over there, they basically run it, and it's fantastic. Tommy, obviously, is awesome. Luke and Brian Davenport, and they've really all helped me. Get us to where we're at, and I'm really excited about where we're going to be. So together we are stronger, and we will elevate the entire industry with you or without you. We're going to do it. So I am really excited about that. But, yeah, for anybody else out there, look up Garage Door Freedom. Do that. If you're a little nervous about it, then I'll tell you what, go to the next vertical track that they'll have. And you know what? I wouldn't even wait. DM me. I'm not in charge of shop tours of A1, but honestly, you need to go to Phoenix. You need to invest in yourself. Okay. I see there's people out here that do, you know, seminars and stuff. It's funny. I could give the tickets to you and you still won't invest in yourself in an airplane ticket in a hotel. Because why, Rob? Because I'm busy. I'm busy. I got to go do this job that I didn't charge enough for, or probably this warranty because I screwed up the first time because I didn't take care of the client. They really just need to take 3 to 5 days off, pretend you're hurt, because that's what's going to happen. Eventually, you'll just get hurt and you can't work. Pretend you're hurt. Go down to Phoenix. Do a shop tour. Open your eyes to what you can have a piece of, or the whole thing. I don't give a shit. I hope you get bigger than A1. I really do. So whoever it is. But just go down there and get a vision of what you can do. I think it'll be an eye-opener. And then you come back and you just start implementing. Pick 3 things. I would suggest, branding, process, and systems. And you need to change your prices. But with the prices comes a whole entire thing, just like branding. It's not just the logo. It's the entire build out of it. So, increase your service that you're giving your customer. You got to increase your value. If your value that you're providing outweighs the price, you're going to win. And that's how we're getting this. That's how we're capturing jobs that were 2.5-3 times the amount of compared to a competitor that has okay reviews. We're still winning. Not all of them, but we win enough. And you know, that's how you do it, because we're providing the best service we can and the client knows we care. That's the one thing. Actually be enthusiastic. But if you're doing 10 jobs a day, you probably won't be, because you're grumpy and you're tired and you're hot. And I hate people. How many people will say, I hate people. I hate customers. I'm sure we all have those one-offs, but the
we have those times.
You probably hate them because they're overworked and they're exhausted. And, you know, let's get well rested and understand, if it wasn't for the client, you wouldn't have food on your table. And maybe we should start treating people like that. And I would treat them like a rock star. So that's what I would suggest. You're going to wow the customer. You do that, you'll win. Just do it consistently. Yeah, you'll get get some bad ones. I agree. But you do it consistently and you'll win in the long run.
There we go. You wow the customer and you're going to win in the long run. I love it. Consistency. Cool. Well, guys, we have taken so much of Cody's time, and I'm so grateful again, Cody, for you taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk with all of us, to talk with me. I really hope that we can get together again here, because I think that we even in this talk, we hit some points that deserve their own show, and that would be amazing. So, everybody, you know, give us a thumbs up when you see this, whether it's on YouTube or the podcast or here on Facebook, and do what you can to elevate your company and your industry and your community, and you're going to win. You're going to win. So with that, I want to wish everybody a good day.
Hold on. We're hijacking this. It's happening. Look at this. Here's what I'll do. I challenge somebody to spend $200. I think it's trophysmack.com. Go get yourself a belt and go give a winner, somebody that wins in the month in sales or service or reviews, go let them wear that during your team meetings. I challenge you to actually have a team meeting for once in your life. Why don't you go do that for your guys? Go reward a top performer in front of everybody. And then find the ones that don't want to compete, and encourage them to go work for your competitor. That's what I would suggest. You'll upgrade your team and get rid of the cancers in your company. Okay. So
wow.
Now
mic drop.
Boom.
Well, I just want to say I want to jump on that bandwagon right there. You know, this is where we take reviews and referrals and we bake this into the culture of our company with little competitions like this. The attaboys, the rewards, and you will get more for what you you will get more of what you recognize and celebrate and reward for. So, you know, Cody just nailed it right there. Everybody, accept that challenge. Pick up the gauntlet and go forward with that.
Only 1% will do that. That was simple. It's $200. It's real simple. There, only 1% will. But, you know, if you raise your prices tomorrow, you can pay for it. You can afford it. I promise.
So, there we go, guys.
$50 a spring job. Add $50 to your rollers. You'll be all right.
Just there you go, guys.
Thank me later.
You've heard it. Now, we're going to blast this out. You know, this will be sent out to a lot of people. And I hope that we begin changing lives with right here. I hope we do. Thank you so much, Cody. Thanks again. Guys, I'm gonna sign off on the broadcast. Thanks for everybody that's watched. And if you're in the garage door industry, if you are a manager, or if you're in a key position, please join the G-Door Heroes Mastermind group on Facebook. We want everybody to come in and share ideas, impact lives, and help us all gain more freedom and more impact. And with that, I'm going to leave everybody. Thanks again for watching, and we'll catch up with you soon.